Yeah.
We'll have a couple of others coming in, but we're gonna try and get a little while closer to being back on schedule. We're really pleased to be here on the Miller campus, Salt Lake Community College, and we will turn the time over to President Kupel to give us an update on the Salt Lake Community College. Thank you.
So good afternoon, everyone. As you know, you're here on the Miller campus, and it's fun to be able to host you on some of our different sites. I've already heard from many of you that live on the southern end of the state that this is a better site for you than some of our other north-facing sites. So we'll try to do this more often for you all. So I wanted to start our time together this afternoon by just celebrating a significant milestone that we celebrated last fall. Last September 14th, the college turned 70, and we wanted to celebrate. We have a big celebration coming up in for our 75th, but we at least wanted to mark that historic 70th birthday. So although our culinary arts students just offered you dessert that they had also created, you've got cupcakes, happy 70th cupcakes from our staff to you to say, here's to wonderful 70 years. So with a nod to that history, I hope that you will indulge me for just a moment. You know that Salt Lake Area Vocational School opened its doors in 1948. We had 175 students, most of whom were veterans returning home from World War II. And those students were obviously looking to learn new skills that would lead them to meaningful careers to support their families. Our motto back then was learn to earn. 70 years later, we are still on the forefront of offering high-quality skill-based training. And as you know, just opened our West Point building, which is a testament to our ongoing commitment to state-of-the-art training for the workforce needs of Utah. So I just wanted to show you a clip from our original marketing materials back in the days, broadcasting those training opportunities.
Do you want to be doing any calls?
I'm good, thank you.
As one of the few state-supported institutions of its kind, the Salt Lake Trade Technical Institute offers training to the youth just out of high school. The unskilled worker. The woman in search of a supplemental job. Or the mechanic needing additional training in new techniques. For these people and thousands like them, Salt Lake Trade Tech today assumes a vital part in preparing them to join the ranks of skilled craftsmen and technicians. Let's follow some of these students and visit behind the scenes as Trade Tech's amazing complex of machinery and modern facilities provide training in a wide variety of trades and skills.
And here's a clip from our most recent marketing efforts.
Commerce runs smoothly here. Because we mold materials here. We ensure success here. Because we drive here. We propel business here. And because we fabricate here, we foster a better outcome here. At the new SLCC West Point campus, we not only improve careers, we improve our world.
So, a little bit of difference. You know, all of our young women wear skirts and dresses to class. We see them walking across our campus every day. Not a lot has changed. So thank you so much to all of you who helped us so diligently and so passionately advocate for our West Point building. It truly is a gem. And we are seeing the merits of that building pay great fruit. I'm happy to say that it's open for business. We have 700 students that call that building their home. It helped us raise $1.5 million from business and industry and scholarships and equipment. And it's already, as you heard some of you in the finance committee, it's already being remodeled for training purposes for Boeing. So it is definitely meeting the needs of our workforce commitment. In addition to our 70th birthday and the opening of West Point, we also had other reasons to celebrate this year. Just prior to the 2018 fall semester, we opened our first location in Harriman City. The community has been very patient with us, waiting for our building to be funded, and as we inch ever closer, I'm hopeful, we knew we still needed a stopgap. So Harriman City graciously offered their old city hall, and we opened some general education courses right in the heart of Harriman. We have about 140 students that took us up on that offer, and new students. They didn't just come from another site. They actually showed up from that community. So we're really happy to be in Harriman, and we're hoping that as we move forward with next year's legislative session, we can bring design and construction ideas to you so that we'll be ready to roll and ready to be able to make our case to the legislature. I wanted to spend some time today, since we're on the Miller campus, talking a little bit about what happens on this campus and getting you acquainted with it. Similar to last year when we were at our South City campus, I focused there on the performing and digital and visual arts. This is a campus that's very unique and often under the radar in terms of Salt Lake Community College's footprint. So this site was opened in 2001. It was generously donated by the legendary Larry Miller. He built every building on his own and then donated it back to the campus. And after that, a legislation was enacted to never let that happen again. So they call it the Miller Bill, and we have to now go through DFCM and do a lot of other things that take much less time than Larry was willing to put up with. And so we have this wonderful Miller campus as a result of his and Yale's commitment. The campus houses several different types of programs. We have traditional credit-based programs here, we have continuing education here, and we have most prominently the Miller Business Resource Center. So I'm gonna share information today about the traditional credit-based programs. Those are very important. But I'm also gonna stage an area of our campus that often gets overlooked and has a significant impact on the economic health of our community. And that's the workforce non-credit training that occurs on this site. So often, and you've heard this from some of my colleagues, often in higher education, the standard metrics used to measure performance or to share success are geared toward credit-bearing programs. And it's the usual currency within higher education. And those are the stats that get a lot of attention in the media. But as a comprehensive community college, there are pieces of our mission that are focused on non-credit, short-term training that often do not get counted in, you know, some of the official statistics. They rarely get airtime, but they are so meaningful and so impactful, I wanted to give them a little bit of a stage this afternoon. So first, let me start with the credit-based program. At Miller, we have an automotive program, we have our criminal justice program, and we have our culinary institute. But of course, we all know that Larry Miller was a car guy, so no campus bearing his name would be appropriate without having an automotive training program. We offer automotive technician training, and we also offer collision repair and refinishing programs. And what's great for our employees is that they can drop their car off, and our students will work on the car for just parts, so that our students are getting hands-on experience and our employees are getting a much better deal in terms of car repair. I had a 1994 BMW that was here quite often back in the day. We eventually had to get rid of that car. It started on fire on 45th South. That's another story. So we also have our Law Enforcement Academy, the Peace Officer Training Program, and our Criminal Justice Program here. The post facility, which is just a couple buildings down to the west, has a firing range and houses police cadets here, which many folks do not know. And it's really turned into a wonderful partnership for the college. Here's what I think is interesting about the Law Enforcement Academy and our Post Academy. It's experiencing tough times. Our enrollment is becoming very, very difficult. Even though 80% of the graduates have a guaranteed job when they finish, it's becoming more and more difficult to recruit students to become police officers who want to be police officers and who can actually pass the background check to be a police officer. And that's a sad state, I think, about affairs in terms of the public image and the kind of treatment sometimes our police officers are getting. Our associate dean, our coordinator of that program, says it's not just the most, policing is not just one of the most difficult and most reviled jobs, it's a calling. And so we're continuing to try to build up public support and commitment to that academy. But the good news is our criminal justice program, our course enrollment continues to grow. So while many of our other programs are declining, more and more students are taking criminal justice courses. We think that's happening for various reasons. There's a CSI program every half hour about on your local network, so we know that the media is actually expanding that opportunity for students to become forensics analysts and amazing CSI experts. But we've also significantly increased our outreach into the high schools. We have a very vibrant concurrent enrollment program, so we've created a pathway to start into criminal justice as a high school student and move into our program after graduation. And we're also really moving to higher practitioner faculty, so folks that are out in the streets doing that work, working in the criminal justice system, and then coming to work and giving real-life examples of that kind of work to our students. And our students have phenomenal experiences in the classroom because of that kind of practical application. And finally, our culinary arts program, which is accredited by the American Culinary Federation. You sampled some of the recipes from our students this afternoon. They are remarkable. We're very, very proud of that program. It takes 5 semesters to complete, 250 hours of on-the-job training, and they can choose to become have an emphasis in either savory cuisine or baking. So for as a memento today, you have a cookbook that has been developed by our culinary students and our culinary instructors. We're very proud of them, and the cookbook offers a way to get a glimpse into the magic of the SLCC kitchen. So I challenge you to make those recipes, and perhaps we can have a taste-off at the next Regents meeting to see who has mastered them. The mango sticky rice cheesecake is in there, Jessalie, yes. So you're on. New this year, we also began offering short-term certificates and an associate's degree in hospitality management. This is an unbelievable partnership. The program is supported and made possible because Salt Lake County devotes a small portion of the hotel transient tax to scholarships for our program. And Visit Utah also funds us. They know the importance of great staff in the hospitality industry, so they've stepped up with funding to help us offer short-term certificate training and associate degrees for folks wanting to go into hospitality, front end of the house, back end of the house. That funding helps our students in the certificate program go 100% free for tuition. And for those that want to earn an associate's degree, 50% of the tuition is covered by that funding. So it's a fabulous partnership between Salt Lake County and Visit Utah. And we're very grateful to Scott Beck and obviously Mayor McAdams before he left, but most importantly, Chair Clint Ensign. Clint knows the value, as working with Brand America and Little America, of what it takes to run a first-class hospitality space, and he was the one with the idea, and he was the one that helped us secure that funding. So great credit to our trustee. Let me finish, shift a little bit now to our continuing education programs. They're also housed here. They're often under the radar, but they're very much dedicated to short-term, non-credit programs that maybe just help students that don't need a full degree, but they're making a transition. So for instance, we have the Transition to Teaching program here, which helps students get through the alternative route to licensure for teaching. This program is mostly online, so students can access this from all across the state if they're trying to move into teaching from a different career. And as we know about the teaching shortage, that becomes a really important pathway for folks wanting to get into teaching. We also, I think, which is helpful, I believe, in the demographics as they're shifting, we have an advanced Spanish language class for healthcare professionals. So folks in the healthcare industry that need to shore up their Spanish to be more bilingual in healthcare can come to us and we'll do a short-term certificate for them to strengthen their medical and advanced Spanish. But the largest footprint on this campus is clearly the programs that are dedicated to supporting the small business owner and the entrepreneur. You know that the Miller dream was to support the entrepreneurial spirit and the courage and the vitality inherent in the small business owner. So today, this campus is really thriving with a myriad of opportunities for small business resources, entrepreneurial training. We have a business incubator on this campus. And we also, this is home to the partnerships with Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Businesses Program. So let me just share a little bit of some of those details with you. Our business incubator is known as The Mill. It helps local entrepreneurs find success through training and mentorship and assist them in navigating their way through the critical startup phase. So in addition to training young business folks, we actually provide physical office space to many of our clients so that they can house their business here as they're becoming startups and work through much of our training, but much of the physical needs that they need in a new startup phase. We assisted 128 clients and we housed 94 tenants here in the mill, and we had 14 business owners graduate from our training program. We're also happy to partner with Bates College and Goldman Sachs in the Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Businesses program. This is an amazing program. It's designed to assist 10,000 small businesses across the nation to become more vital and have a creative transformation of the revenue of their company. So we are in the midst of cohort 18. We've been at this for some years now. We have graduated over 486 small business owners from the program. Many, I love going to that graduation because these small business owners are just so grateful for the experience they've had over the, it's about an 8-week program. Many of them refer to it as a mini MBA. They gain practical skills in negotiation, in marketing, in employment management, and they also find ways to access capital. So it's a really remarkable program for our small businesses throughout Utah. They see impressive results. The enterprises that have participated nationally have seen revenue growth averaging 97% in just 30 months after the program completion. Notable graduates of that program, you may know some of these folks, Cadis Enterprises. Natalie Cadis will be honored at our commencement ceremony this spring. Feldman's Deli, some of you may have had the Reuben there, it's quite yummy. On-site Care, Red Iguana, and A Plus Garage Doors. So a myriad of small business owners that have gotten a lot of great attention from the Goldman Sachs program. It's also home to the Small Business Salt Lake Region Small Business Resource Center, which is also really dedicated to strengthening the fabric of Utah's economic fabric by facilitating growth in small businesses. But it's not selected. Goldman Sachs, you have to have a certain revenue, you have to have a certain number of employees to be able to join that program. Our Small Business Resource Center is open to everyone. So again, they offer personalized counseling in management, in finance, in marketing, and provide a lot of information about feasibility studies, accessing capital, etc. So we've served over 544 clients in the small business program, which has directly resulted in the creation of 364 jobs and $26 million in new revenue for those businesses. We operate a similar center in Park City, where we've mentored 132 businesses, and we also have a Veterans Business Resource Center that does the same kind of thing, but targeted to veterans who are opening and starting a business, and have helped infuse 185 veteran businesses in 9 Utah counties with that kind of training. Miller is also the home of the Refugee Leadership Program. We are very proud of both our youth and our adult programs that help refugees navigate what it takes to now live in the United States. This year we had 27 youth and 23 adults complete the program, coming from countries including Afghanistan, Bhutan, Central African Republic, South Sudan, Somalia, the Congo, and etc. As a community college, that's a really important part of our mission. We are very firm in our commitment to helping new Americans achieve their dreams and helping refugees make that transition into what can often be a very complex business environment. In all, this campus is really, really dedicated to helping small businesses grow and prosper. And I just need to tell you that in 1 year, that footprint serves about 12,000 graduates. That 12,000 number is in none of our metrics. It's outside all of the things that you all watch and pay attention to. It's outside what the legislature pays attention to, but it is a vital part of the Salt Lake County and in many instances the state. And so I want to give them a stage today and a thank you, because it's a really, really important part of what we do at Salt Lake Community College. You may have seen, before we leave the Miller campus, you may have seen students running around a little bit today. We are the host. We've been the host for Skills USA for many, many years, which features high school and college students competing in the trades. So here they're competing in culinary, they're competing in automotive repair. At our West Point campus, they're competing in welding and diesel mechanics. And they're vying for an opportunity to compete nationally at the Skills USA competition this summer, which can result in full tuition for them if they earn a gold medal and half tuition if they earn a silver medal. So it's something our students take very, very seriously in the career and technical world. So let me kind of shift gears and take a little bit away from Miller campus, but I hope that that gives you a little bit of a taste of what's happening here. And let me just wrap up my time with you by sharing some items that are really critical and will help you understand our commitment to affordable access and timely completion, which I know are so important to you all. So we are strengthening affordable access in a variety of ways. The first way, obviously, we're trying to keep tuition as low as possible. We've had a lot of conversation about that today, and I so appreciate your support in understanding what a difference state taxes can do for a community college in the world of keeping tuition low. So to the extent that you can help us with that conversation, I welcome it. We have invested significantly in open education resources, estimated that SLCC faculty have saved students almost $9 million now in textbook costs. We've been at this for about 4 years.